Well, here we are. We have finished, what did he say last week? 14 years of Genesis? I think that's what John said last week. We've been in Genesis for a while. It really hasn't been 14 years. We've only been doing this for the summertime because we are officially still in summer, and we didn't start until summer started, I think, something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but it's not been 14 years. But we are at the very end of Genesis today. We are in the last couple of chapters, and congratulations. You've made it through. I've heard lots of good comments about being able to go through the scriptures like that and being able to sit and sort of meditate and think on the different stories and maybe the applications that we can take away and some of the applications that we shouldn't take away from those stories. But it's good to be able to come to this day, to be able to say, looking back, we have journeyed far together. You know, I always thought that the idea of TV was to provide me with an entertainment, a sort of a happy place for me to just sort of escape into. You know, where the characters, I really like sitcoms, situational comedies, you know, really like those. Where the characters, they sort of have this, they run into a little problem and they do something to make their little problem worse, and it's usually kind of funny. And you know, before the end of the show, however, they have managed to sort of wrap it all up nicely. It's very neat and tidy. The show is over, and you come back next week and you watch it again. Or if you do Netflix, I guess you binge it. But for those that have the old cable, you know, we would wait till next week to see the next episode. But those TV shows, there's that brief moment. That brief moment where you can escape from your reality. You can escape from your reality, and it comes to this nice, fun, happy little conclusion in somebody else's reality. Genesis, it could be like that. A simple little story about the complicated life of Abraham's family. It could. You know, we walk with this family for generations through Genesis. Sometimes we're shaking our heads at the silly antics of the characters. Sometimes we're amazed at their deceit. Sometimes we're impressed by their passion. Maybe even we're moved to tears by their passion. As this story of Abraham's family comes to a close in this particular section, we learn about Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And he blesses the next generation before his death. All of Jacob's sons appear to finally have resolved their issues with one another. And as the sun sets on the closing lines of Genesis, Joseph dies, and the family continues on, safe and secure in the land of Egypt. You know, this sermon title, it was almost entitled The End. You know, it kind of makes sense, right? We started in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1:1, in the beginning. So it makes perfect sense to end today with the very words, the end. But something just didn't feel quite right about that, the end. That means that it's finished, that there's nothing left, it's over. The movie ends, the book ends, the story ends. It just doesn't fit. Can God's story end? You know, we've been talking about this story, about these people of God. The end just doesn't fit for the people of God. The people of God, the people of the God who has no beginning and no end. The people of the God who is the Alpha and the Omega. The people of the God who is the first and the last. That is such a finite phrase to say the end when we are in the presence of such an infinite God. So last week, really, if y'all were here last week, you heard John set me up. He said that this week that I was going to be able to take all of Genesis and wrap it all up, and I forget exactly how he said it, make it all, put a bow on it. I was going to put a bow on it. I did not bring a bow, and I hope that we walk away going, there maybe was a bow tied on it, but I'm not sure. And he said when he left, you know, he said, there's no pressure, right? No pressure. Just put a bow on it, nice and neat. So we'll see. We'll see. The truth is that we have come to the end of this lengthy study and this endeavor. And as I've this past week told my Bible study class that, you know, I feel that every sermon should end with a so what. Every sermon series should end with a so what. So what? What is going to make what happened today? Y'all have been sitting here for 46 minutes now. What's going to make what happened today make tomorrow different? So what? How are your next 7 days going to be different than your last 7 days? So what? What do we do? We have spent all of this time. We've had lots of great nuggets of truth that are brought to the surface, but so what? What are you going to do? How do we understand this whole big crazy story in Genesis, and why do we even care? In the beginning, God created. God created, and it was good. But then something happened. Most of the time when we talk about that thing that happened, that moment between Eve and the serpent, most of the time we talk about, well, it's free will. And it is. It is Eve's free will to choose to disobey God. But I want to add to that a little bit. I want to add to that a little bit and say it's not just that she exercised her free will. It was that she acted on her desire. Also, another gift of the Creator God. Her desire right then and there, in that very moment, she acted on that desire. A gift, an amazing gift. God gave us the ability to have desire for something, to want something. And yes, he gave us the free will to act on that desire. You all know this, the story in the garden. Adam and Eve, they walked with God. They desired God's presence. But then something happened. Just try it, he said. Well, it is pleasing to the eye, she said. Come on, just do it, he said. Well, what harm can it be, really, she said. Adam, Eve, where are you? Why are you hiding? Because we are naked and afraid, they said. Desire, free will, consequences. Cain and Abel, Noah and Lot, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Laban, Jacob and Leah and Rachel, Joseph. Desire, free will, consequences. And yet, through it all, there is always God's continued promise. God's promise to this family, God's promise was his presence, was his promise of progeny, and his promise of property. We know that these people weren't a perfect people. We know that. I think they actually could probably make a reality TV show, the characters of a reality TV show, put them to shame with their twists and the turns and the betrayals that they do. But the thing is that, you know what? I think that we, maybe not individually wrapped up in one person, but we collectively as humanity, we are still just living variations of these characters in these stories. Last week, Pastor John talked about this final family drama with Joseph and his brothers as being a story of reconciliation, a story where a broken family seems to have been put back together. And it seems that they are reaffirmed here in our section from this week. Carson talked about it with the children, and he talked about the forgiveness that Joseph was able to offer when the brothers asked for it. Hear these words from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong that they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he assured them, speaking kindly to them. May God bless the reading of his word. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Despite the terrible things that they had done, Joseph forgives. They seek forgiveness. Joseph forgives. They are reconciled. And Joseph says that God intended it for good. I'm often impressed with very crafty people, you know, the kind that can make most anything. People that can take what seems like remnants of, things that I would just throw away because I have no idea what to do with it, little baby bottles. I don't know what to do with those. I recycle them, Miss Tammy. I don't throw them away. I'm not sure where she was at the early service. I recycle those. But some people have a real knack for that, right? They have a real knack for being able to take something that others might look at as trash or unusable anymore, and they're able to take that and make something new out of it. My great-grandmother, she was a quilter. And if you quilt or know anybody that did, you've seen them. You've seen them take pieces of fabric that, for my great-grandmother, she used old ties and old dresses, and she would take little pieces of fabric, and they were essentially non-usable in their first form, but she would take them and she would sew them together. And sewn together, suddenly we had this beautiful, big, warm quilt. Something beautiful, a masterpiece. Some people can take old things and repurpose them. Like taking trash to treasure, right? I think another phrase that people use is upcycling. Upcycling. Taking something old, like a beaten up trash can, and turning them into a beautiful flower pot. A wonderful creative soul in this very church used an old door to make my desk over in my office. I would have never thought of something like that. How creative, how wonderful to be able to use something and give it new life. Taking the leftovers, the things that you could never ever think that they could be any good anymore, and turning it into something beautiful. Yeah, I think that's definitely one of God's specialties. Joseph describes that whole process to his brothers. What you meant for evil, what you meant for brokenness, God used for good. The Apostle Paul understands it as we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So God created the world. He created humanity in his image, gave us desire and gave us free will. And sometimes, oftentimes, maybe even all the time, we plug into our desires for ourselves instead of our desire for God. And in that, I think that is where we find the rub for all of humanity. To Jeremiah, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts for peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I think Pastor John's way of explaining this story as one of reconciliation is such a beautiful way of understanding it. And I think that that is the underlying purpose of all of Genesis, reconciliation. In the beginning, it was good. Then Adam and Eve chose. Well, Adam and Eve chose, but let's bring that home a little bit. Then humanity chose. Humanity chose our own desires over God's. Actually, even that's a little up here. Let's like make it more real, because really this is what it is. We chose. In the beginning, it was good, and then we chose the desires of our own hearts over the desire of God's heart. These Genesis stories, they are not like the TV sitcoms. They're not like the ones that I like so much. They don't provide an escape from reality. They plunge us deeper and deeper and deeper into reality. Chaos and lies and trickery and drunkenness and rape and rage. These Bible stories, they don't show us a nicer world or an ideal world. Suffering and injustice and ugliness are not cleansed from the world in these stories. The Bible stories do not give us a cause and an effect world where we can plan out our careers and our futures. It's not a dream world in which everything just works out according to our own human desires. And the Bible doesn't read like other pieces of literature that might explain things or might tell us exactly what to do or instruct us in a certain way of exactly how to do it. Or inspire us particularly, or entertain us. Now, there may be pieces of the Bible when we're reading it that we glean from that. But that's not the purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible is revelation. It's God revealing God's self to people just like us. It's God revealing God's self to us. Revelation that brings us deeper into conversation with God, deeper into relationship with God. As we engage with the Word, God is revealed through the experiences of these ancient peoples. God is grace. God is mercy. God is righteous judge. God is hope. God is love. God is reminding us that in the beginning, God created and it was good. And that we, God's children, are created in God's image. Don't let us ever forget that. God's activity in our life is not to overlay us with laws and regulations, but it's to open our eyes to the reality that even in the midst of our chaos, God's image dwells within us, deep within us. It is the core of who we are. As the Bible stories continue throughout history, we come to the story of Jesus, and we come to the reconciling power of his life. We come to the reality of God's love for this world, for humanity. We come to the reality of love, of abundant life. We come to the reality of Jesus' repeated desire for us to love. Created in the image of God. We are created in the image of God. And God is love. So if God is love and we are created in his image, then we are to partner with God to reconcile that image, to restore that image within us. And Jesus calls us, he says, follow me, follow me. For us to partner with God, to reconcile that image, to follow Jesus. We do that by letting everyone know that we are his disciples because we have love for one another. That is the evidence of our purpose. That is the evidence of our identity. That is the evidence of the image that dwells within us. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for creating this world, for creating us. We thank you for placing your image within us, for creating us in such a way that we bear the marks of your love. Lord, help us plow through the chaos and the turmoil and the selfish desires that so often afflict us. Help us plow through those desires and find our way to your heart, Lord, that we may seek your desire, to seek your heart, and follow in your footsteps. It's in your Son's name that we do pray. Amen. Our hymn of